Christ is risen. Amen. Amen. So today is Easter Sunday. I know all of you know that. We've had a good morning already. We had early sunrise service, and we really didn't see the sun rise, but we were there when the light came up, and we heard a wonderful, Fernando shared a little bit about Lazarus and when he was raised from the dead and how the Lord waited to go there, yet he cared for everything that Mary and Martha were dealing with, right? And so isn't that good news? So today, let's go to slide two. I want to read this. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. He is not here. Right? Don't we know that we serve a risen King? We serve a risen Lord. He is alive and well. And why do I say that? That he is alive. Why do you think that we celebrate Easter? Anyone? Because he's alive. Right? Anyone else? Why do we celebrate Easter? New life. New life. Right? So I can be alive too. Right? We celebrate Easter because he's alive and we can be alive with him. Slide three. You know, when we talk about Jesus being resurrected from the dead, do we understand that not just a few saw him? How many?
Over 500,
right? This is what it says. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living though some have fallen asleep. So over 500 people saw him alive, right? So it isn't a story to be told. It's the story to be told. It is, do we believe that the Bible says that Jesus, right? Do we believe that Jesus became alive, was resurrected from the dead, people?
Yes.
Yes, right? So when we say Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. It happened. There's some people say it's just another book to read. It's another story to tell. And they don't believe it's the truth. But this morning I'm here to tell you that it is the truth. Right? We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe that it is the truth. And so when we come to Sunday morning on Easter Sunday, we want to celebrate that we are forgiven, that we are alive because he is alive. Right? Are you tracking with me? We're here because he died. For me and for you, he paid the price that I was supposed to pay, right? And Jesus wasn't just a man, right? He was the Son of God who came to earth. His birth was supernatural. We celebrated that at Christmas time. His birth was supernatural because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so he had no sin. He had no sin, and so he could die for you and me. He was the Lamb of God. Do you wonder why we have this painting here? Anyone, when you look at this, what do you think? So I look at this, and the Lamb is Jesus, and the Lion is Jesus resurrected. The Lamb who paid the price for me, and the Lion who was resurrected from the dead. You know, let's go to slide four. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Why do we talk about the Lamb and we talk about Jesus when we put those two together? Does anybody know why? When we talk about the Lamb, do we talk about Jesus being the Lamb of God? Again? He was the sacrifice, right? What else? Yeah. Right? So the lion, for me, here stands as the roaring lion that roars against the enemy. Jesus, the Lamb, who paid the price and shed his blood on the cross. And why am I talking to you about this? Because some of you know that at the beginning of March, we went to San Francisco to visit our son. Not because we wanted to go on vacation, but because our son was struggling in some areas of his life and we felt we needed to be there. Now, that's a reminder to each one of us that as parents, the Lord loves each one of us so much that he would just take a trip and spend time with us. It wasn't to convince him to become a believer. It wasn't to just fix whatever was happening, but just to be with him, to spend time with him, for him to know that we were there. And in the midst of all of that, it was a difficult vacation, but it was a precious time. Does that make sense? Even as there were some times where he wasn't super nice to both of us, but at the same time, we knew we were there to love him. And so it reminded me in one of the mornings that we were there, the Lord said, the cross is the epicenter of humanity. The cross is the epicenter of humanity. And I'm going to read you a little bit about what I felt the Lord say. The epicenter is the place that has the highest level of activity in an earthquake because it's the starting point. Has anyone been through an earthquake? Anybody? Right? It is not a lot of fun, is it? I remember running outside because I knew I was safe outside, away from the building where I was at. It's not a fun feeling. Yet, I felt like the Lord was saying the cross is that. Where is the starting point? It's the starting point where the most damage is done. The most damage to the enemy. The most damage to the past. The epicenter is where. So if you look at this picture closely, it talks about 10 magnitude, 9, 8. The further away from the epicenter, it's less and less where they feel it or where they sense it, right? And I feel like the Lord was saying that the enemy has been damaged at the cross. The enemy has been destroyed and defeated at the foot of the cross. That's where the epicenter is. Does that make sense to you? I feel like the Lord was saying the cross is the beginning. The cross is the center. The cross is home base. Do we want to the next one? I feel like the Lord was saying the ripple effect starts at the cross. We cannot have a ripple effect to the rest of the world unless we go to the cross. The cross is home base. Home base. Does anybody play baseball? Yeah. Home base. It starts and it ends. It begins and it ends. It starts where you hit the ball right there, but you want to go around and come back there. It's the base. I heard the Lord say, the cross is the base for our lives. If we don't go to the cross, if we don't remember his sacrifice, where it all begins. at the cross. So when Jesus died on the cross, he conquered death. He conquered my sin. He conquered my shame. He conquered my past. He made me anew at the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he defeated Satan. You know, the Pharisees and the leaders of that time thought that if they killed Jesus, they would stop his plan, right? They would stop his future. They would stop what he was going to do. And yet at the cross, when he died, what happened? Home base. It all began. It all began for you and for me with forgiveness, with repentance. Let's go to the next slide. His death broke the fear of death. His shed blood removed our guilt and sin. And his broken body heals our bodies. Can I repeat that again? Could you read it with me? His death broke the fear of death. His shed blood removed our guilt and sin. And his broken body heals our bodies. You know, I believe in the power of prayer, that we can pray for someone and they will be healed. These things begin at the cross, don't they? The shed blood and the broken body from Jesus to us. You know, it began with God's giving his son to die for us, but it ended with his obedience to die for you and me. So he was obedient going to the cross to shed. You know, when you see this, the Lord has reminded me over and over again, keep the cross, even during Easter, throughout the year. Have you seen it here this whole time? The Lord has said, it is by his cross. It is by the sacrifice. What happened on the cross, we should not forget. And how easily do we forget the price that he paid on the cross? You know that when we come to the cross, we can receive forgiveness. When we come to the cross, we repent, and he gives us the opposite. He removes our past. He makes a new future for each one of us. We receive forgiveness of sin, cleansing of our iniquities just by coming to the cross. How many of us want to come to the cross every day to be reminded that I am forgiven, that I am redeemed, and that I'm a new creature in Christ? At the cross, we exchange our old for our new. And I felt the Lord saying, there's a newness coming to each one of us if we choose to. It's a choice, right? There's a newness of life that comes if we go to the cross. And that is the Holy Spirit. Go to the next one. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The next one, hon. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem. So do you remember that I said the ripple effect? If we don't come to the cross, we can't be the ripple effect to the rest of the world, right? Because we will not have the source and the power that comes from the blood of Jesus and his body broken for us. So we are the ripple effect that goes out to the world, to the ends of the earth, right, Phil and Alice? To the ends of the earth. travel, we go to whoever we encounter. So God desire, and this, I heard the Lord really clearly, and this is, I felt like it was a prophetic declaration. God's desire is that each person is transformed when they go to the cross. When they ask for forgiveness and they repent, they are transformed. Each individual, but then a generation. So us individually or corporately. So the whole church, and I know Jim talked about that this morning. It's not just me. It's not just LifeSpring. The whole church needs to be released into what God has for them, right? He wants us to be the church, not just one person, not just LifeSpring, but all of us come and repent before the Lord and ask for forgiveness and receive that transformation. To be a people that are kingdom builders, kingdom, his kingdom, not ours, kingdom success in him, not in us. Many of us want to see our kingdom being built, right? Many of us have our own plan, and the Lord is saying, will you allow my plans over your life? Heard the Lord said he wants to put a fire in our hearts. A fire that will not be put out by circumstances. A fire that will not be put out because I'm having a hard day. But to be on fire for him and only him. So my prayer this morning is that God would set our hearts on fire and give us eternity in our hearts. To have the right eyesight, the right perspective that comes from above. Are you following me, church? And when we choose to go to the cross, to repent and ask for forgiveness, he will give us that eternity, his eternity in our hearts. It's about serving him. Eternity in our hearts means, I serve you, Lord. I choose to serve you, and I serve others with the love that the Lord gives me for others. It's not about me, but it's about what the Lord wants to do in me and through me for the rest of the church, right? In me, he comes in me. Slide 11, Fernando. And you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So we serve one another humbly in love. We serve one another humbly in love. You know, one of the things that I heard the Lord said that is, we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, by his sacrifice. We've been redeemed. Have you been redeemed? Thank you, Lord, that you have redeemed us. Do you know what redeem means? Purchased? Yep. Anyone else? Change? An exchange? An exchange? So let me read to you what I found out. To buy back. Redeemed. To buy back. To win back. Purchasing of us from a life of slavery and sin. He purchased us from a life of slavery and sin. And you might tell me, this is what I wrote, may you think you're a pretty good person. I don't need to be bought back. I'm a pretty good person. Do you think a pretty good person be okay? Every human being has a sin nature. Every human being has a sin nature. So what happens? We need to be purchased back. Each one of us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what Romans 3:23 says. For all, not just a few, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Romans 6:16 says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Do we obey the Lord, or do we obey ourselves and do whatever we want to do? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God. So we have a choice each day. And today, on Easter Sunday, what are you wanting to choose? Are you choosing to obey yourself, or are you choosing to obey the Lord? That's our choice this morning. And I'm telling you, there's a choice that we must make each day. Am I going to be to self, 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 or am I going to choose God and His forgiveness? I want to share this story with you. And this one, if the young kids are paying attention, might be a little bit out there. But in a dusty village in Nepal, near the shadows on Mount Everest, close to 80% of girls are destined to be sold. 80% of girls, because they are from the lowest of the lowest caste. They're from the Bari people in Nepal. 80% of the girls. The religion teaches that in a past life, they must have racked up a serious number of sins for karma to punish them and send them back to earth as the lowest caste. People do not even help them because they think that they deserve it. The caste they're born into means they're doomed to be tracked, treated lower than a dog, used, sold, and abused. They're called the Bari people. It was there that a missionary met Landana. Remember that name, Landana, the most beautiful 10-year-old girl. Her father had agreed to sell her to an Indian brothel. Her mother couldn't bear the thought and tried to prevent her husband from selling her, her precious little girl, but he would not have it. He started beating his wife because she did not want to sell the little girl. When missionaries found this out, they were there in Nepal in the same area. They acted quickly with local social workers and law enforcement, and they got Landana to a safe house where girls like her were kept safe, warm, fed, and loved. Landana heard the gospel. She heard how through Jesus, she was adopted into God's family. This is the most powerful part of the gospel for many in that area of the world. When sharing the gospel with Landana, the missionary told her, "The gospel teaches your last name is no longer Bari. It's like your name is no longer Landana Bari, is Landana Christ." Because you are in His family now, and you are in His caste now. So she lit up and looked at Him with eyes of possibility and hope. "Can this really be true?" And the missionary said, "Yes, it is the truest truth in all the world. You are now part of our family." Landana gladly joined the family of God, leaving behind the shame of her family, her caste, her bloodline. God became her father. And His love is the opposite of a father willing to sell his little girl. It is a God who is willing to sell Himself for 30 pieces of silver to save each one of us. He was willing to go to the cross and die for you and me. He died for Landana, and He died for all those young girls that are sold because they were born in the wrong caste. We were wrong. We were born in the wrong family. And yet God, in His mercy, wants to adopt us. This little girl understood the power of the blood that purchased her back so she could join a new family. Do we understand of the blood? I think at times as Americans, we don't understand why there was a lamb that needed to be sacrificed for our sin. You know, as we were watching The Chosen a while back, and Fernando, you've shown the section when Matthew goes to his dad, and his dad said, "You don't need to atone." And I'm like, "You don't need to atone? What does that mean?" Go back to study it. The blood caused the atonement. The blood caused the sacrifice of the lamb was supposed to clean the people, the forgiveness of sin. Well, the Lamb of Christ is what cleanses us, who atones us of our sin. Am I making that clear? The blood of Jesus is the only thing his broken body can cleanse us. So I'm inviting us today, to each one of you, do you want to belong to the lowest caste, or do you want to belong to the new bloodline that the Lord is offering us? You know, we have to make a choice each day to go to the cross, ask for forgiveness, and receive it. So it's receiving what the Lord has already. You know, Landana understood that she no longer, even though she was born in the baddie group, she was no longer a baddie girl, right? She was, what was her name? Landana Christ. Do you want that kind of last name? I want to be Judy Christ. You want to be Tasha Christ, Connie Christ, Deborah Christ. We want to belong to his family. Why? Because he has redeemed us and cleansed us. He has given up his life for each one of us. So today, my question to you is, do you want a new lineage? Do you want, you know, some of us have a past. All of us have a past. Do we want to carry that with us for the rest of our lives, or do we want a new life in him? You know, when Clarissa said, my husband was really a stubborn man, and every time we go to see him to pray for him, he is the sweetest, gentlest. I'm like, I didn't know that, Randy. I know who he looks like now every time we come see him and pray with him. Open to anything we say. Can we pray for you? Yes, pray for me. Can we just anoint you? Yes, anoint me with oil. He makes us new only by going to the cross and asking for forgiveness and accepting that which the Lord has given us. Next slide. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the employed way of life handed down to your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and defect. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus, by his broken body. Why do we do communion? Why do we do communion? Anyone? Why do we serve and receive communion? In remembrance of him. In remembrance of the sacrifice that the Lord did for each one of us. If you want a new lineage, if you want a new family, if you want a new bloodline, would you stand up today? If you want what the Lord is offering today, a new change, it's a new day, people. It's new in him. Not by anything that we can do, not by anything that we can change in our lives, but what he's offering. Would you pray with me this prayer? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, today I believe you prove you are God by coming back to life. I ask you to forgive my sins that you died for on the cross. I receive your spirit in my life to empower me, to free me from sin. I commit to live the rest of my life for your purposes, and I'll share your message of love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. And I don't know if all of you meant what you were praying or saying, because I say pray with me, and it was right there. But today, you can receive all of that. If you declare it, if you receive it, if your hearts are open. If any of you are here and have not done a commitment to the Lord, we, the elders, I, will pray with you. So if there's any of you who feel like you need to recommit your life or you need prayer, would you come up front? There is a song that I would like to play where we're doing that. It's called "The Cross Has the Final Word." There's no sound.
The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. There's nothing stronger. Jesus, all the honor.
So Judy has given an invitation. And I want to encourage you, if you're sitting in your seat saying, God, this isn't for me, that might be the Holy Spirit saying, this is for you. So I want to give the invitation. This is an opportunity. Don't leave here today refusing the Holy Spirit's leading. If he's drawing you in, we'll go ahead and continue to play. I just wanted to encourage you. If you're struggling there, just come. Somebody will pray with you. We're safe, people. We're safe. Come.
The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night, but the cross has the final word. There's nothing stronger.
All right.